joking, just joking. All right, okay, so we all have different experiences. Hello. We all have different experiences with dating. Now, when I talk about dating, and I'm going to give you kind of like a biblical, because it's all about the Bible, really. And you guys, don't talk unless you need to, which you shouldn't be. Anyway, it's kind of distracting. Okay, so now when I talk about dating, I'm not talking about one-night stands, friends with benefits, holiday flings, chilling, hooking up. That's what the world defines as dating. But today I'm going to give you a biblical perspective on what dating is. So I don't know if you have my first slide there. So dating, do we have it? Okay. So dating is when two people, a guy and a girl, come together intentionally to develop a relationship with one another, being exclusive with the goal that the relationship possibly leads to marriage. Possibly leads to marriage. Okay? So that's what dating is about. Now, I'm not saying that every dating relationship will end up in marriage. That's not what I'm saying. In fact, more often than not, it doesn't. But when we talk about dating from a biblical perspective, and let's keep in mind, I'm not here to talk about what the world says about dating. I'm here to talk about what the Bible says, because how many of you in here say you're Christians? So you're Christians, you're Christ followers. That's what you should, you know, you should proudly put up your hand. Don't be ashamed. No, if Jesus said, do you know him? It's like, yeah, well, I know him. No, you know, Jesus says, you know, I know him. So how many of you are followers of Jesus? Thank you very much. Now, if you are followers of Jesus, you are submitting yourselves to a certain lifestyle that is different from the outside world. So the outside world would say dating is one-night stands, it's flings, it's hooking up. But when you look at dating in a biblical manner, it's when a guy and a girl and guy and girl, not guy and guy or girl and girl, come together, okay? And you want to develop a relationship. You are exclusive, so you don't have multiple people in your life. So you're exclusive with that person, okay? And there's a goal. That as I get to know this person, as we develop a relationship, it will possibly lead to marriage. Now, how many of you are ready to get married? Except for my leaders, yeah, for sure. You are ready, I endorse it. I'm praying. God knows I'm praying. And I'll dive into that a bit. So, now, if the intention is to possibly lead to marriage, it means that the following reasons are not good reasons for you to date or to be in a date. So now let me qualify something. You can go on a date with someone. Like, I went on a date recently with someone, and we're not in a relationship, but I went on a date. I want to get to know this person. Yeah. So we went on a date. So you can go on a date. But when I say I am dating this person, it means I am exclusive to this person. Which means if this person is texting me at 20, nobody else should be texting me at 20. And note I say 20. Ungodly things happen after 21. I'm just telling you. So, they're texting me at 20, okay? Which means even how I converse with them, I'm not conversing with them, with another person like I do with them. So, now, if that's the case, then these are reasons not to start getting into a dating relationship. Because you are bored, because you are lonely, you want to have fun, you want to feel appreciated, you want someone to buy you stuff. You know, like those people on Facebook who, like, they show you, like, pictures. Oh, bae, he bought me this. And then you're just like, gosh, social media just die already. You know, like, you know, they send a picture and you're just like, you know, it's your birthday. All you ever got was a happy birthday from Pastor Sombo. Your friend posts on their WhatsApp story thingy. And, you know, they've got presents and bae took them out for dinner. Nobody took you out for dinner. Maybe the only ones who said happy birthday, your parents. Your friend came with nice shoes because their bae bought for them. You are just wearing the same shoes you wear all the time. You know, it's just like, wow, you know. sometimes it'll be nice to be in a relationship so I can get stuff. But those are not the reasons why you should be in a dating relationship. You see, people are not cars that we test drive. Every single man and woman is made in the image of God. And when we approach dating that way, we need to keep that in mind. We need to honor those who bear the image of the living God. We need to date with intention. You need to recognize that that person that you are attracted to, that person that you are pursuing, is a child of God. They are not disposable. You need to treat them with the same respect. God looked in the mirror, if he has a mirror, I'm sure he does, because women like mirrors. If God has a mirror, he looked in the mirror and he said, this person is going to be created in my image because I care for them, I value them. If you are in service today, Pastor Oka mentioned how he references back to the scripture in Genesis that says, and I said, let us make them in our image. So the way you're dating, now think about it. If you're dating, if you have intentions for dating, if you desire to date, how are you honoring that person as a child of God? And are you honoring them? When you look at them, are you looking at them as a piece of meat? Something to satisfy your needs and desires? Or do you recognize the fact that they are a child of God? Do you think about that? Because you should be. And so today I'm going to highlight three things that will help us when it comes to Christian dating. And for those who are in relationships, I really, really, really want you to think this through. Those who are on the, right now you are texting her even as I'm speaking, or you had a plan to go meet her or him after Impact, I really, really want you to really think about the things that I'm going to say today, because what we talk about with regards to your dating life now and your dating decisions has a great impact on your future. I think I've said this before. You are here today because of something that you did yesterday or did not do. Same applies to your dating relationships. The decisions you guys will make today will greatly affect where you will be tomorrow. I am here today because of a lot of poor dating decisions that I made. And thank God he's full of mercy. Thank God he redeems the time. But I don't want you guys to go through the process of God's mercy and redeeming his time with that regard. And so we're here talking about this now. Many teen pregnancies are based on a decision that was made or lack thereof. And you have, and God is merciful, God loves, God cares. And he forgives you, but he doesn't take away the consequence of having a child. And now you become a child who has a child. Or think about this. You engage yourself in a relationship and give yourself to this guy or give yourself to this girl. It does something. It ruins your heart and your... It does something. And we'll talk about that a bit more next week. But you really, really need to think about it. And so today I'm going to mention three things that will help us. The decisions you make now have implications on your emotional and relational health in the future. They have implications. Now, depending, they can have positive implications, they can have negative implications on your future, today, right now. You choose to check out, I will be meeting with you in a counseling session 5 years from now. I'm not a prophetess of doom. It's just the truth. You make positive decisions, I will probably be officiating your marriage 10 years from now. But that's a decision that you have to make. Okay? 1 Corinthians 13:11, and it should pop up there, says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish things. Next week, we have the Lockins, extraordinary gentlemen. You're going to stand there and you're going to talk about how you're extraordinary gentlemen and you are men. Men give up. Men and children, there's a huge difference between how a man thinks and how a child thinks. A lot of you guys and ladies, you always want to be treated like adults. But what's your behavior? How do you behave? How do you think? You see, an adult thinks in a different way, a child thinks in a different way. And Paul says, you need to give up those childish things. You need to let go of your childish thinking because you are a man, you are a woman. And so how you behave, how you treat yourself, how you think, ought to reflect the fact that you are a man or a woman. Let it not be said of you that you're behaving like a child. But most of us in this room are behaving like children. And so today, we're going to talk about that. You need to stop thinking of dating like a child. What you see in these movies, in these series, and you think that's what a relationship should be like, that is childish thinking. It's nice to watch a romantic movie. Oh, it's so sweet. Oh, I really don't like romantic movies. But it's nice, I guess, if you're into that kind of thing. It's nice, you know, it's entertaining. But that shouldn't be your standard. That should not be your standard. When you begin to think that as look at that as your standard, that is childish thinking. You need to be able to take your thinking and measure it up to the word of God, okay? So, with that said, let's look at three things that the Bible says, or look a biblical perspective on dating. The first one is be the right person. Be the right person. It's about personal character. Bill Hybels in a book, it's a great book, it's a very small book in the bookshop, you know, if you're really about, I truly believe if you want to do anything of consequence in your life, you cannot wait for someone to come in. I mean, sometimes someone will nudge and push you, but if you really want to do something worthwhile in your life, you just have to go out there and get it yourself. So I love reading, and I'll read anything. Well, not anything, but most things I'll read. In fact, Andy Stanley says something that's really beautiful, and I, like he says, should always be, we should always be on the edge of our ignorance. So when I don't know something about something, rather than argue about it, I'll go and read about it and research it, right? Okay, so, but in this book, it's there in the bookshop, it's a great book. He talks about how character is who you are when nobody is looking. Character is who you are in your bedroom all alone. Character is who you are in the shower. Character is who you are on the toilet seat. When nobody else is looking, who are you? Who are you? What are you listening to? What are you thinking? What are you reading? Because the thing is that nobody else is there. And then we will always work under this assumption that, you know, somehow we forget that God is with us everywhere, even in the toilet. That's why you can pray in the toilet, just for free. You can. He's there. But somehow we forget that. But who are you when nobody's looking? If there was a bubble over your head right now of your thoughts. Yes. If there was a bubble over your head right now and I could read your thoughts, where would you be? That's character. So who are you? Are you going around trying to impress people, be something that you're not? Are you afraid to be who God has called you to be because people won't accept you? You see, if I chose that route of being trying to conform to what people said about me and whether they were okay with it, I wouldn't be here today. I definitely wouldn't be here today. I'm loud, I'm bold, I'm in your face, I tell it like it is. That's just me. And sometimes people tell you, especially in the dating context, no, you need to tone it down, you scare men. And I think, no, if he's scared, he's not man enough. Okay? That's just it. Because for you to make me be something that I'm not, then you're saying God made a mistake. That his design of me is flawed. And I don't believe his design of me is flawed because in Genesis, he said, after creating everything else, and when he made man and woman, he said, it is very good. Very good. I am a very good thing. You are a very good thing. So what's your character? Who are you when nobody's looking? If I got your phone right now, and I went through your notes, I did that with a very special friend of mine. Yeah. And we're making, yeah, fantastic, very, very happy. But the fact that he's even comfortable with me grabbing his phone and didn't, like, cringe, well, then again, maybe he's playing really good. Like, ah, he has played cool, but inside he's dying. Like, oh, my gosh, I hope he doesn't go to my, you know. But can I grab your phone? No. Thank you for being honest. Some of you are laughing, but your laughter is giving you away. You should be able to grab my phone and go through my messages. So, where's your character? You go around talking about how I want a woman who's honest and dependable and reliable. You are not honest and dependable and reliable. So why should God give you his child who is honest, dependable, and reliable? So that you can ruin him or her? Absolutely not. God loves them. Be the person you are looking for. Now think about where you are right now. Would you want to date you? Okay? Focus on developing your character. And truth be told, look, I know at this age that's going to have, that's why we're having this conversation. Physical attraction is going to be there. God made you body. He made you body, soul, also your mind. Oh, yeah. I can't spell, all those who know. There we go, right? Body, thank you. You know where I was going. No, I'm really sad with the fact that I can't spell. That's why I did sciences. But he made you body, soul, and spirit. Your body was designed to be attracted to the opposite sex. At this age, you're going through hormones. Your body's responding. When you're like, no, this is not the time to respond. Gosh, wait. You know, it's doing that to you. And that's why we're having that conversation. But there is a godly way of navigating this life. And truth be told, again, I recognize this age, you are going to recognize, you know, the girl you once thought was ugly, she's actually kind of cute. You're like, oh, she's cute. Okay. And that happens. But how you navigate that is very, very important. And I would say this, for me right now, I don't think you guys have any business dating. That's just my personal opinion. Instead, focus on your character, because character development is so key. Jesus was developing his character. Scripture says we don't hear anything about him after the temple when he was 12. And from age 12 to 30, when he shows up on the scene again, Scripture says he grew in wisdom and stature. Jesus was focusing on his character so much so, he recognized the enemy when he came to tempt him, and he spoke the word to the enemy. You're not going to be able to do that if you're focusing on another person. Focus on yourself. Grow yourself. Develop your character. Because there will come a day when you will choose a career path that your family won't understand. Will you be able to stand? It just can't come from nowhere. It has to be developed. Don't carry baggage around you. So many of you are carrying stuff. You are carrying, can I borrow a backpack? Backpack. Don't worry, I won't open it. But you know, you're carrying, in this bag, this is my life experience. And truth be told, you guys grow in a century, well, not really a century, but an era of life where you experience a lot of stuff. Stuff that you guys have experienced, I haven't. You know, some of you have experienced abuse, physical, sexual, emotional. Some of you guys are dealing with rejection of either a parent or a sibling or friends. Some of you are dealing with failure in life. You tried so hard and it just didn't work out. Some of you, even at your young age, are dealing with broken or unfulfilled dreams. You're dealing with that, and you're carrying it here. The problem is you're going to go into a relationship, and you're going to carry the same bag. You need to drop it. But you cannot drop it if you're focused on another person. As you focus on your character, you begin to realize, I have this baggage, and I need to drop it. You see, this baggage will be an obstacle. It will be an obstacle for me. For example, I mean, I want to sprint, right? So sprinters, have you noticed how they like wear like no clothing? But anyway, yeah, like they wear like anyway, whatever. But sprinters, or even swimmers, right? Like, gosh, swimmers. Let's talk to the Olympic Shani. Those speedos, though. Anyway. So, they wear stuff because they need to be as streamlined as possible. The least resistance will give you the speed, right? If I'm a runner and I have this backpack, it's actually quite light. But if I'm running, it's going to cause some resistance. and I won't move as fast as I can. You're not going to get to where God has called you to be if you're carrying baggage. And you're going to enter a relationship with this young man or young woman with your baggage, your minutiae, your drama. And then there's two people who come with their minutiae and their drama. It's not going to be fantastic. You need to break bad habits. There's stuff that you do, like not making your bed. Bad habit. It's a bad habit. Make your bed. You need to break bad habits. Not showering. Bad habits. Don't say, using body spray. Use it. There's bad habits. How many of you want to date someone who's addicted to porn and masturbation? How many of you want to date someone who's a liar? How many of you want to date someone who cheats, either on exams, lies to their parents, steals? How many of you want to date someone who has a low self-esteem and thinks they're worthless, they're nothing? How many of you want to date someone who's arrogant and full of themselves? How many of you want to date someone who will not listen to instruction, rude to their parents, disrespectful? How many of you want to date that person? How many of you want to date a person who, as somebody is speaking, you're thinking, what is she saying? How many of you want to date that kind of person? So if you don't want to date that kind of person, why would you want to give God's beloved that kind of person? It starts now, you guys. It starts now. Because I can guarantee you, if you don't deal with it, there are certain things that become almost like second nature and becomes even harder to stop doing them. So you have an opportunity to stop now. I can testify to that. Because of a lack of self-esteem and trying to listen to people. So I was sharing with someone recently how even in my teen years, I always thought pretty was less than beautiful. So when someone called me pretty, I was like, and so I always believed I was only as good as pretty and I was never beautiful. And I struggled overcoming that. Or self-esteem, again, I always thought I was what I looked. And I've always struggled with acne. And so, you know, people were like, what's wrong with your face? What's wrong? I'm like, look, I woke up in the morning, of course I saw the pimples on my face. I'm like, what's wrong? And, you know, I'll try and put this mask, but it used to bother me and bug me. And there I went, allowed the enemy to steal from me money to try and get a clear skin. But you know what? So what if I have blemishes on my face? But it takes a while to get there, and you have to deal. There's things about you that you need to deal now. You need to stop beating yourself up. You also need to remember that you are here because of what God has placed in you, not because of your own strength and ability. You're not that smart. Set standards for yourself. Truth be told, you attract what you are. So if you don't have, and you get surprised. You always wonder why these kind of people just come to me. You may want to check yourself. You need to have some standards. Even no standard is a standard. Have a standard. Can it be clearly defined? Can we know what you stand for? Can it be clear? Have standards. Even the world has standards. Have standards and let your standards be reflective of the word of God. Because all of you here, you said, I am a child of God. I am a believer. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. If he is your Lord and Savior, he sets the standard. And you can't pick and choose. You know, Lord, I won't use that reference. I won't. Holy Spirit, help me here. When you talk about someone being your Lord and Savior, like they're your Lord, it means when they ask you to jump, you just ask how high. That's why, like, I don't know if you guys have seen the Shaka movie or, you know. Yeah. But, you know, that's how people got, when the king died, they would kill you to go with the king. He was your Lord. There was no negotiation. You didn't discuss. You just laid your life. Because he is my king and I absolutely submit. I don't pick and choose. If he is your Lord and Savior, you don't pick and choose this standard works for you and which one doesn't. You might as well not be. Revelations, Jesus said, you cannot be lukewarm. I vomit lukewarm. Have you ever drunk lukewarm water? It's pretty gross. I throw you up. And that's what Jesus is saying is, you can't be on the fence with me, either in or out. On the fence, I throw you up. I just can't. My grace cannot operate in your life when you're on the fence. Set standards for yourself. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Self-control. You cannot control other people, but you can control yourself. The next, be united on what matters the most. Be united on what matters the most. You want to have spiritual unity. Don't date people who don't share the same convictions and passions for God as you do. 2 Corinthians 16:14 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? There is nothing like missionary dating. It doesn't work. They are not your mission field in that regard. I'm going to date them and they're going to know Jesus. That's a lie. Corinthians also says, Paul says, do not be misled. Bad associations corrupt good morals. I've given this illustration before. It's like I stand here and I'm a believer. And I'm dating this guy. Chops, come. I'm not dating Chops. Chops is a girlfriend. Okay. So, if I grab Chops, it's very hard for me to try and lift him up to be here. But Twops, don't pull me down. But Twops can pull me down. He can. He can pull me down and I can come here. That's the reality. Thank you, Twops. That's the reality. So I'm here. And me dating an unbeliever is being unequally yoked. We have nothing. My perspective, I hope this chair doesn't break. My perspective, my worldview is very different from yours right now. You see, I can see everyone's face in here. You can only see the faces next to you. You can't even see the faces behind you. Don't deceive yourself. I can guarantee you it will end badly. We can bet $1 million kwacha here. In fact, since I'm winning Mingotainment, you can bet my Mingotainment. You want to record me? Since I am winning Mingotainment, that's why it keeps, the Lord wants it to reach 3-5 because he knows I need it. But anyway, don't delude yourselves. They are not your mission field. It's not going to work. So be united in spiritual matters. And what kind of testimony is that? You're dating someone and then they come for impact and then they hear us. They hear me talking. About do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And they kind of look at you like, wow. Well, what were you doing with me? You were a Christian. And you are busy chilling with me like that. I've heard of stories where people do that. They try and do missionary dating. And the person comes to church and they get to know Jesus. And the relationship ends because they realize, look, it wasn't formed on the right thing. And then you are left. After you've invested. Practical unity. Have similar interests. You need to be sure that your lives are headed the same trajectory. How are you going to be? All the married people in this room can attest to the fact that there has to be. You have to be going the same direction. How can you be? So, for example, I am called to be a pastor, and I believe when God called me to be a pastor, it really is for the local church, which means I am in one place. Then I meet this man who God has called to the mission field in Haiti. And then I know, but you know, he's so handsome. He loves the Lord and everything. But he's going all the way to Haiti. Me and him, it's like God is telling him, you're going to Chipata and I'm going to Livingston. No matter how much I try, I'm forcing things. It's not going to work. And I will end up being frustrated in the relationship. See what I say about how you need to focus and discover yourself? Right now, most of you don't know. You have a glimpse, but you don't know what God has called you to. Then you want to invest yourself in this relationship and say, I will love you forever until the end. But you are going totally different directions. Some of you end up going to countries you are not meant to go to and be frustrated and wonder why the grace of God is not operational. There was no grace for that season to begin with. Now, does God redeem the time? Yes, but why do you have to even go through that in the first place? So this is the season for you to be discovering yourself and figure out, where is God calling me? What is that? And I'm not talking about full-time ministry. Some of you are called to be sportsmen. Some of you are called to be accountants and scientists. Some of you are called to be musicians. The life of a musician is a traveling one. It's not an easy one. I know people who are married to musicians, and it's not easy. Say your spouse is on tour for the whole year. How are you going to navigate that relationship? They're a banker. They're an accountant, and they work long hours. You need to be at peace with that and settled. You know, not at home and running. No, but he said he was going here, yeah, but uh-uh. You need to... And how are you going to do that if you're just rushing into relationship, you guys? Can you confidently tell me that you are at such a place where you know I have an idea of the trajectory on my life? Confidently. Maybe. Good for you if you do. The third thing is make love a verb. Make love a verb. John 13:14. My new command I give you, this is Jesus, love one another. John 13:34b says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. God is not calling us to feel emotions for someone. Now, does that happen in a relationship? Yes. But he's talking about a love that acts. I've mentioned this before and I'll tell this story again. So I liked this guy. I really, really liked him. And I had resolved that I was going to kiss him. I just made up my... You know when you've made up your mind to go and do those foolish things? It's like, I'm going to... Whatever, God will forgive me. I had decided, what you guys, I'm also a human being, hello? Anyway, so I had, now that's not an excuse, but I had decided, I'm going to kiss him. I then jumped into the car and I started off. And then the Holy Spirit asked me, said, somebody, do you love this person? And I was like, yeah, I do. I mean, hello, that's why I want to go and do what I want to do. And then he asked me, and he says, where do you think he is when it comes to sexuality? And I'm like, it's just a kiss. We're not getting, like, we're not having a baby. We're not having sex. I say to myself. And the Holy Spirit says, but you don't know what his struggles are. It may be just a kiss for you, but it may be a beginning of perpetual sin for him. Now, do you love him? Are you going to be the reason he sins? Are you going to be the one that leads him to sin? I kid you not, I reached the roundabout and I turned back and I went home. Love does not cause someone to sin. Don't be the reason that someone is tempted or goes through with sin. You see, again, well, let's talk about the body. When you start, people ask, you know, is kissing okay? That's not even the point. What does it do to your friend's heart? What does it do to your heart when you begin to kiss? You see, your body is not saved. When you start kissing, your body starts responding and producing hormones and wanting to be desired. And then a kiss is not enough anymore. Now you have to hold each other. And then holding hands is not enough anymore. Now you need to hold a certain body part. Holding that body part is not enough anymore. Now you need to take off your clothes. Taking off your clothes is not enough anymore. Now you need to have sex. It's real, huh? Yeah. So what kind of love is that? It's like saying to someone, I love you and I'm taking you to a noose so you can go and hang yourself and die. That's what you're saying. Go ahead and kill yourself while I'm watching and saying, oh, how I love you. Ladies, any man who will take you to a position, no, it's just a kiss. He does not love you. Talk is cheap. Ladies, when you allow a man to touch you, or you are the, even the way you dress, you send text messages, you are not loving, and you cannot be associated with Jesus, because Jesus says, this is how they will know that you are my disciples, by the love you have for one another. How can you say you love someone and you're the reason, you're even sending those, you know what I'm talking about, that tongue emoji, that eggplant emoji. You think I don't know? How can you say that and be the one who sows seeds? How can you be the one who sows such a seed in someone? You are as good as Judas. You are acting not like your Father in heaven, but like the father, Satan, the father of lies. That's what you're doing. Now listen, guys, will we slip up? Yes, it will happen. I'm not saying we're perfect. But I want you to be thinking about that and saying, if I love this person, one prayer that I endeavored not only to pray but to live out is Philippians 1 verses 9 to 11. And it says that your love may abound more and more. In the Amplified, it says, in all wisdom and practical insight, that I may treasure, that I may recognize and treasure what matters most, that I may live a life that leads others away from sin. I don't want to be part of someone's to Christ testimony. You know, they're telling the testimony, yeah, and then I met this lady, Sombo, and then, you know, she got me into some stuff, and then, I don't want to be that. Do you want to be that part of someone's testimony in their life? It's up to you. Love is about actions. That's what he's calling us. Not emotions. Because emotions are not constant. There are days when you like your mother and there are days when you don't. It's true. Same with emotions. And truth be told, the married people will tell you, if you're going to stay in marriage for emotions, they would have left a long time ago. Married people, am I lying? Uncle Kelvin, Uncle Biggs, Auntie Shongi, Ola, Connie, they'll tell you. If it's about, oh, I just feel her, I just love him, my love makes him so nice. Those things don't last. Wait until the bills come. Wait until your spouse loses their job. Wait until there is a chronic illness in the family. Emotions, they won't sustain you. Love will sustain you. Because when you say you those vows, you say for better or worse. And the worse does get worse. Now, what have I been saying to conclude? And we'll close. Okay? So, the next slide. Listen. Shh. Focus. Okay? It's raining. I don't want to shout, so listen. Okay. All right. So, there's some important things ultimately they want to look at. Okay? You need to realize that your role, that should actually be your role. I need a handheld. I need a handheld.
Hello? Okay, that's better. Yeah. Okay. So, you need to realize this. Your role in a relationship is not to be served, but rather to serve. That's what a relationship is about. Any kind of relationship. Okay? When you're an infant, the nature of the relationship with your mom and dad is so that they give you something, right? But as you get older, the dynamics of that relationship change. You ought to serve. It's not about you anymore. Now, in a dating relationship, it's not about what can I get from this person. It's about what can I give to this person. What can I bring to their life? And can I bring something good? And I want to challenge you right now. If you know, and you know yourself, if you know that you are not in the position to bring something good, don't get into a relationship. If you are in a relationship and everything I've talked about and you realize I need to check myself, it's about time you guys broke up. Like, that's really where we are. Okay? The final thing is that God, Jesus, is glorified. Wow. Lord, we thank you for the rain. It's been so hot. So, character, okay. Character, unity, and love. These are important and they're key. Now, it's raining, so we're going to flip things a little bit. Do you have any question? Question, questions, questions. Anyone have any question? About what I've talked about? All right. Yeah, go for it. Hello? 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 Yeah, go for it.
Oh, I have two questions.
Mm-hmm. Speak loud.
I have two questions.
Uh-huh.
The first one is, what exactly is missionary dating, and what is it about those stories where someone says, she's the reason I turned to Christ, or something like that? And then...
Okay, let's pause. What is missionary dating? Thanks for asking. Okay, so when I say missionary dating, it's an unbeliever, believer dating an unbeliever. So you have asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, okay? And then you get into a romantic or dating relationship with someone who does not, and they've made it very clear, they do not follow Jesus Christ. So we call it missionary dating because they don't know Christ. So they're your mission field, you're the missionary. Yeah, that's what I mean by missionary dating. Some of you are, and some are like, oh my gosh, I'm a missionary dater. Yeah. All right, your next question was?
Following that response, so those people who say they claim to have followed Christ because of their partner, is it a lie or...
Yeah. No, it does happen. But that's why I mentioned. So... missionary dating is not God's plan for your life. Does it happen? Yes. Are they people who got saved? So, in fact, in Peter, Peter talks about how you don't want to win your unbelieving spouse, because in that church, there were people who they got saved and their spouse was unsaved. And he said to them, you don't want to win over your spouse to the faith by your words, but by your actions. So there are people who did get saved and they were led to the Lord because they dated someone who was a Christian. But like I gave that illustration, more often than not, that does not end well. There's very few people who will tell you, I came to the Lord because of my girlfriend or boyfriend and now we are married. There's very few. Most cases, they came to the Lord. The more they grew in their relationship with God, the more they realized this was not working, and they ended the relationship. Yeah.
Oh, then my last question is, for people who are lesbians or gay, is it just a mind thing? Because they say they are physically attracted to the same sex. So is it just a mind thing in the end?
Okay. That's a great question. That's also a really... okay. This is how best I can summarize it, okay? So, God ordained, God's plan was for male, and that's always been his plan. Now, when we come to a same-sex attraction, it's a perversion, so it's a corrupt, it's kind of like what Pastor Walker said about the earth being cursed. So, our minds have been perverted on what relationships should be. So it means when someone talks about how they're attracted to someone of the same sex, their influence on what sexuality is not God's standard, but the world's standard. And again, yes, it's by renewing your mind about what God says about sex and relationships that your actions are affected. Because even now, there's things that, for example, how many of you lied recently? So, okay, I won't ask what the lie was. Come on, be real. Like you told a lie, whether it was a small lie,
what?
Quote unquote, a white lie. Okay, fine.
Now, there's nothing like a white lie. A lie is a lie. There's nothing like that. A lie is a lie. You lie, you lie. Whether you lied about who ate the chicken, I don't know, that's a lie. To who stole the money, that's a lie. Now, the reason we lie is because we have a distorted view or a fear of what that person is going to do to us or the consequences. Therefore, we lie. And so when someone is dealing with same-sex attraction, it's because there's a fear that is attached to that thought. Maybe they're afraid of men. Maybe they had a bad experience with men and women. And so they're afraid of that. And they said, you know what? I don't want to do that. They grew up in a home where it was just a single sex. And they realized, you know what? It works better like that. So there's a fear and a lie. Okay? All right. Any other questions?
Questions.
Wow.
That's how you should speak. Eh?
There's
I'm
a
coming.
Question there.
Where? Oh.
Hello, can you hear me? So my question is, what would be the best way to deal with a gay friend? Like, you want to help them out, but you don't know what to say because they're too sensitive and stuff like that. And then when you push them away, it feels like you've abandoned someone that you could have helped. So how do you deal with such?
How do you deal with your friend who's gay?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll use the term homosexual. So wait. Are they a practicing homosexual? I need to qualify this. Are they a practicing homosexual? Or do they just say, like for example, when I say practicing, have they kissed a boy? Are they having relations with someone of the same sex? Or you've just heard rumors that they're like that? Where are we?
I've heard rumors, and I've seen him come to me in ways like...
Okay. All right.
And it's not just one. They're like four.
All right. Okay. All right. Here's the reality, though. Now, listen. Hello. Okay. So, first of all, Scripture is very clear about sin. Sin is sin. Just so you know, lying is a sin. Sex outside marriage is a sin. Stealing is a sin. There's no hierarchy in sin. Just so you know that. There's no like, this is a small sin, this is a big sin. One of the reasons God is very detestable to sin, and you can see the implications, is because when it comes to sexual sin, it's a sin against your body. Okay? So, and he talks about how every sin is outside yourself, but when it comes to sex, it's a sin against your body. And remember, God has made his home in us, so he dwells with us. Now, when it comes to that, one of the things we need to do again is, remember the adulterous woman? Jesus showed compassion. It's very easy. And I love what Pastor Walker said when he preached on homosexuality. And if you want to listen to that, you can go on the website. It's there. You can download the sermon. But I love what he said. He said, we love the sinner and we hate the sin. We are to love. Okay? Now, for example, when I'm loving someone, I'm not saying I condone what you do, but I'm saying, look, I don't fully understand your struggles, but I'm here for you. If you need to pray, if you need to talk to someone, I know someone who can help journey with you. Okay? So you're not coming with a condemnation and saying, I'm better than you, because you're not. It's about love. And if you love and care for them, you connect them to a leader like myself or someone and say, look, here's my friend. Can you help them? And it doesn't happen instantaneously. It's progressive. Other people, you can work with them and instantly they're okay. Other people, it takes a while, okay? Because there's a lot of issues that you need to deal with. You see, for me, and sin, again, it's a fruit of something we're afraid of. It's a fruit of fear. And so there is something that they're afraid of. So if I was going to talk to your friend or your friends, I would want to get to know them. Know their life story. What happened? What's going on in your life that has led you to this? And trying to understand them. So I don't know if that helps. Yeah. All right. Any other questions? There's a question over here.
All right.
So, what advice would you give a friend who's dating the wrong person?
Sorry.
What advice would you give a friend who's in a distorted relationship? It's barely, like, it's really breaking her. It's hurting her a lot. Yeah, it's breaking her. She's just that kind of emotional person, and when you tell her she's not doing the right thing, she just ends up telling you it's my life and I do what I want.
Okay, I think so. How do you advise a person who's in a disruptive relationship and it's breaking them? I think what you guys have learned today about dating is a great place to start. It's a great place to start. You see, in fact, I love what I heard Andy Stanley say, you know, he says, Jesus never asked anyone to believe him. He always said, follow me. Follow my life. So I live this out and follow me. So what we've learned today about how, you know what, I went to Impact and this is what I learned about dating. And then allow them to make that decision for themselves. Always pray for your friends. And you guys, don't give up on your friends. If I gave up on some of you in this room, if I gave up on some of you, because some of you have tested me. You really have. If I gave up on Bernard, you know, you look at Bernard and you think, oh, Bernard, a hype man, he's funny. Bernard was once sitting in a chair like you. And I was speaking a microphone at one point to him amongst peers. And he was quite the character. But the Lord is merciful, and we didn't give up on him, and we praise the Lord. Don't give up on your friends. Jesus doesn't give up on you. So you keep loving them, you keep giving advice, you keep praying. Again, don't come with condemnation. I'm not telling you what to do. This is what I've learned. This is what I've applied in my life, and it actually works. Yeah, okay? So with that said, we're going to take some time of prayer. Unless there's a question. Does someone... One more question? Okay, there's a question there. And then we'll... Guys, okay. I know you're rappers, but don't hold the mic like this.
All right, so if you have a friend, then you know...
Now speak loud.
If you've got a friend, and then he goes out like with a lot of girls, then you've tried to talk to the guy, but he still goes out with girls. And then he's dating a girl you know, but you're not like really connected. And you've told the guy to stop that, but the guy has continued. So what can you do?
Okay, so the guy's your friend.
Yeah.
As in he's your friend. As not in squads, you hang around together.
Sometimes.
Okay, so... Okay, so you hang around sometimes.
Yes.
Okay. And then... So he's got multiple girlfriends?
Yes.
All right. And then he's dating a girl that you know?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think you should do?
I've tried talking to the guy.
Uh-huh.
But the guy obviously didn't stop.
Uh-huh.
But I want to talk to the girl. But it will be kind of awkward when I can talk to a girl.
It will. What will make it awkward? What do you think? Why is it awkward?
Because if the girl, like the guy knows, you think, as if I like the girl or something like that.
So your friend would think you snitched on him.
Yeah.
You're trying to make moves on the girl.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you go back to the slide before? Okay. So, a new command I give you. Love one another, right? And he says, as I have loved you, so you must love Do you think that as just a, forget just even friendship and everything, just as an ambassador of Christ, do you think that it is an act of love to remain silent when an injustice is happening? Huh? So that's your premise. You know, the truth is, you guys, this journey that God, that we are on when we endeavor to be Christians, it's not going to be an easy journey. You will lose so-called friends. And this is my theory. The ones who leave because I have chosen to follow Jesus Christ were never meant to stick around. The ones who stick around because I have chosen to follow Jesus Christ, those are the ones that need to stick around. I will challenge you because, again, Christ has called us to love one another. And maybe this is what your friend needs to change by going to that young lady and telling her, here's another way. If that was your sister and a guy was busy doing that to her, and then you knew that there was a guy who was playing your sister like that, how would you feel? So you beat, but you want to do the same things with other people's children, eh? No, think about that. Think about that. We always do that, you know? It's okay for someone else, but when it comes to... That's why I remember I said the first thing. Set standards. It's okay. So, for example, I have teenage sisters, and when they come for lock-ins, though they're not coming this time, when they come for lock-ins, there is nothing like their Pastor Sombo's sisters. They are just here to attend a lock-in. In fact, if anyone has observed them, my sisters don't even hang around with me. They just disappear and do whatever they need to do. But there is nothing like, I can't have a different standard for my siblings. Now, do I love and care for them? Of course I do. But when they're in a group like this, I need to see them as an impactor. The way I treat you is the same way I ought to treat the person on the street, even if I don't know them. Love, you guys, love is an act of action. Love is a doing verb. It's just not a verb that we talk about. It's not a noun. Well, it can be a noun as well. But God is calling us to make love a doing word, something that we actually do and act out. As an extraordinary gentleman, being called to rise up and step up, you need to tell your friend as a man, and that goes to all of you as men, stop being a coward. Okay? Be a man and tell your friend, you know what? Men don't behave like this. You are giving us men a bad rep. Stop acting like a boy. Stop childish things. Call out your friends. And I begin to wonder, like, I have friends. I have close friends. And if my friends are doing silly things, I have to tell them because people associate them with me. So if I have friends who like, you know, just going to the club, you know, drinking alcohol, not water, you know, just, you know, and then they even tag me. What would you think? That's why I always challenge you guys on your social media posts. I was just tagged. The fact that someone thinks that you would find that funny is an indication of your mind. You can't tell me they just tagged me. People know better than to tag me in just anything. They do. Because they're just like, Sambo, she's just going to come and give me a lecture here. Never mind, moving on. I'm okay with people knowing I'll be the one giving you a lecture. Because I'd like to think that proves to you that I care for you. Rather than be that one person that's watching you drown and screaming and saying, I love you. So call out your friend. Save that young lady a heartache. Remember what we said, the decision she makes today about her love life will affect where she'll be tomorrow. For all we know, that will start a cycle of her putting up with any nonsense. And one day, I want to give you a picture. Here is a young lady who grows up in a home where she has seen physical abuse. So to her, a man hitting a woman is normal. And then she goes into a dating relationship, and this guy hits her. And it's normal. Then she ends up in a marriage, has kids, and she's being beaten by her husband. And one day this man hits her so much she dies. Then she has children who grew up in a home where their father killed their mother and their father went to jail. That is dysfunctional. There are ripple effects and they are beyond your now. Depending on the decision you make, it has an impact not on just your children, but your children's children. We always joke with my son. My dad, my grandfather, I never got to meet him. He died when he was 35, I believe. And apparently, I don't know, I guess I need to research it. He used to play soccer. And he won it was in the 70s, he got some scholarship or something to play soccer. And he went to Belgium. And then in Belgium, while on the football pitch, my grandfather had a heart attack and died. Okay? And what happened? Because of his death, my father was, at the time, their tribes were such that his mother's tribe did not get along with his father's tribe. Okay? So when my grandfather died, my grandfather's family rejected my dad and his siblings. And they went to live with their mother. And when their mother died, my dad was 10 when his mother died. His mother's family rejected him and his siblings and said, "We don't want these children because they belong to that tribe." My brother, my dad and his siblings always grew up not being wanted by anyone. My dad figured, you know what? In this life, nobody owes you anything. You need to figure it out on your own. And so he worked very hard. He pursued finances. He did what he needed to do. Then he met my mom. And because nobody was man enough to step up to him, my dad and my mother had me out of wedlock. Okay? They were married for 5 years. Their marriage ended. I went through a series of tragic events in my life. And I had to go through an emotional journey to deal with, to be healed today. But I still have the scars on my body. I still have the scars on my heart. To think where my life would be had my grandfather not died. Or maybe there was a decision. Maybe my grandfather knew he wasn't feeling well. Maybe he should have gone to the doctor. I don't know. But what I'm trying to illustrate to you is, you think your decision is just about you today. That decision to have sex before marriage. That decision to stay in a relationship when you know full well God is saying no. There will be someone like me who will tell a story about you and how your decision let them down in life. May it never be said of any of you in Jesus' name. Amen. May it be that when your children's children stand up and share their testimony, they will say, "My grandfather was a man of integrity. My grandfather was an extraordinary gentleman. He rose up. He was courageous. He was a godly standard, the patriarch of our family. And I am here today because of his faithfulness and the blessings of my grandfather continue to flow down to my family today." May that be said of you. But it's just not going to happen. It's a decision that you make today. Some of you come from homes where there's been abuse. And God is saying, you make that decision and it ends with you right now. And a legacy completely transforms. Some of you come from homes where you have been rejected. You've been orphaned for so many different reasons. God says, "I call your family blessed. I call your family united. You will see your children's children. And you will be blessed to take care of your children." But that is the decision you make today. Amen. We're out of time and I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. So, we're talking about dating, love and sex. Every eye closed, nobody looking. Love and sex from a biblical perspective. And we've said a lot of things. And I believe God has been speaking to us and challenging us. But if you're here right now, and you're saying, "You know what, Pastor Sombo? I've made some dumb mistakes. I have not taken thought to my character.
I have not looked at the opposite sex with godly intention. But I want to. If you're here right now, and either in the recent past or in the past, and you've never actually brought it up to prayer, every eye closed, nobody looking, please. Let's honor what God wants to do. And you're saying, look, I have engaged in premarital sex. Not because I was forced, but because I thought that was a way to keep a relationship. And I've never brought it to the cross of Jesus. But today I want to. You see, God is able to restore. He really is. And He wants to do that today for you. He wants a restoration, a healing to take place in your heart today. So if that applies to you, I want you to just quickly raise your hand and put it down. Nobody looking. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Just lift it up and put it down. Thank you. Anyone else? Is there anyone else? Father, I know too well of that grace and mercy because I have been where these ones are. And I have fully experienced your grace and your mercy, God. And Father, right now in Jesus' name, where the enemy has tried to hold them in bondage and fear, Father, I pray, Lord, that they would experience your grace and mercy right now in Jesus' name. For Lord God, you have said that we must come boldly to the throne of grace to experience mercy and grace in a time of need. Father, I thank you for these ones who have courageously lifted up their hands. Thank you that at the cross it was accomplished, and it was accomplished for them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would experience your great love for them right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You are a good God. You are a good God. You are a good and a faithful God. Now, if you're here today and I talked about how, look, you need to have a submitted life to Christ. The grace only operates to those who have submitted themselves to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And if you have not done that, you've never prayed the sinner's prayer. Another measure is if you die today and you don't know where you would go, then that is an indication. Because any believer knows that if they die today, they would be in heaven with their Heavenly Father. But if that is something that you're not sure of, I invite you today. Take that bold step. Accept Jesus. He died on the cross for you. If you are the only one left, He would have done it for you. He wants you to have a life where you have the grace and you experience His love. And you don't have to navigate. You don't have to navigate this dating scene and this dating life on your own. There is grace. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. But it starts with you having a relationship with Jesus. If you're here right now and you've never done that, I ask that you just raise your hand. Or if you're here and you say, yes, I have accepted Jesus Christ, but truth be told, my life, like the prodigal son, I have turned my back away from Jesus and I'm trying to figure out my own life and do things my own way. If you're here and that's you, just raise your hand. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Okay, for those who raised their hands or should have raised their hands, please, please, please don't go without seeing a leader. It's raining outside, so we're not able to go outside. But please, please don't go without seeing a leader. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you that you care enough to give us instruction in love to help us be the women and men you have called us to be, Lord. And truth be told, the world is full of lies about what dating and relationships and sex should be. And Father, we look to you. we look to you because you are sure, you are reliable, your way works, it has been tested and proven. And Father, we live in a world where life does not make it easy. And so I pray for each one of us, Lord, give us the grace. For myself, for the leaders, for the teams, give us the grace, Lord, to navigate and to maintain integrity in our relationships, Lord. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Before we go, I just want to challenge you guys. I wasn't gonna do it here. But if you are really serious about what you've heard today, like, you know, like this is for real, I want you to go home and on your own, make a commitment to God to be a person of character, good character. Be that person. Seek people who align with what you have decided to do, who align with your values concerning God. And love as Jesus calls us to love. Amen. You're blessed. See y'all next time.